right. That's a good student, right? Awesome. Well, it's great to see. It's great to see everybody here tonight that could join us, and we endured through all of winter in a week. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Now it can be done.
Now spring. Now the mud season is here, apparently.
Let that be short.
Yeah, really, no kidding. Awesome. But I wanted to share a word with you. Every week that we've done this, the Lord's given me a specific word to share. And last week we were dealing with dedication, how that, about building altars, and we were talking online about how that Abraham built an altar everywhere that he went, something that him and God had happen together. And then he stopped building altars after that his son was born. And he never built an altar again until actually God had told him to go and to sacrifice his son, which he wasn't going to have him do that, but he was testing his faith, his obedience. And he built an altar, and then from thereafter he built altars. And we see that generationally that less and less altars were being built in the family, actually. So Isaac built less altars. Jacob even built less altars, and then eventually Jacob got turned around and started building altars again. But there were places that were sanctified, that they would recognize that something had happened there, and that God would meet them, that God had met them in that place. Well, this week, as I finished that up teaching online last week, that the Lord spoke to me about talking about worship this week, and I know we have certain ideas about what worship is. You know, we say, I'm going to the worship service, and well, let's all stand and worship. And, you know, so it really, in a lot of ways, the idea is more of a traditional idea we have about worship, but that doesn't mean because it's traditional that it's biblical.
Right.
And the biblical pattern for what real worship looks like and how that real worship is to be handled is that worship is a heart issue that God deals with us. And worship can be singing. Worship can be serving. Worship is giving. Worship is listening to the Word of God, how we respectfully look at the Word of God when we do our devotions every day. Worship is prayer. And, you know, I'll admit, you know, in my life, I have not been the greatest person of prayer. I mean, I pray, but my time with the Lord has never been as, I've never been able to look at it as a time of, I hate using the word intimacy because that sounds more like a girl word than a guy word. But, you know, but, huh? Stop. Yeah. But I've never looked at my time with the Lord as more interactive between the two of us. I've looked at it more of me just talking to the Lord, listening. And I've just really found now that my time with the Lord in my prayer time has become more of a worship time. Not singing, but just talking to the Lord about yielding my heart and my life and what He wants to do, and praying for different people and praying God's will over their life. You know, the prayer of that Jesus taught us, that your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so worship changes us. Worship is really about changing us. It really is not about changing God. And there's a little bit of an attitude that, well, if we worship right, God will show up. Well, the truth is, God's already here. The thing is that we're just not acclimated to His presence being here. His presence is here. Amen. And, it's here. But we're not acclimated to it. You know why? Because, well, a lot of us just came out of work, or we rushed to get here, or we were watching the roads real close to make sure there was no ice or whatever. So we're distracted in life. And so we end up running at a different, you know, God might be, if you know anything about electricity, we've got an electrician on the front row, you know, God's at 220 and we're at 120. So we're not pulling right from what could be what's available for us. We need to get to where He's at instead of expecting somehow that we've got to somehow get God to be where we're at. We're getting to where God is at, not getting God to where we are. Worship is you and I coming to God with the full measure of devotion. I love that. I don't know if you know where, you know, you'll hear a lot of that like Memorial Weekend, the full measure of devotion or the full measure for their country. That actually was the first time was used in a speech by Abraham Lincoln when he was talking about the Civil War and about men and women that gave their full measure of devotion for their country. But I wonder if we give our full measure of devotion to the Lord, if we're giving that, and like we're going to have a part of this service tonight where we're singing songs and we're in a place of expectation. But is it in the full measure of devotion, or are we looking at our phone, or are we looking at, you know, what's going on in the, is Michigan State's playing tonight, I think, maybe, or, you know, are we looking at whatever that's a distraction, and we're not giving God our full measure of devotion in that moment? And it's in those moments that those altars are built. It's in those moments that we have what's called kairos moments. You know, the Bible talks about two kinds of time. There's the time which is chronos, which is, you know, it's a measure of minutes and hours and days. And then there's what's called kairos moments, which is it's a supernatural intervention season that God puts you in. And God wants to move us into those kairos moments. You know, God is not limited by chronos time.
Right.
Amen. He's not limited by the time that you and I are in. But we can limit God to what he can do seasonally in our life when he wants to really move in that kairos moment, that sort of epiphany moment of our lives where God shows up. I like what A.W. Tozer said. Tozer, if you've ever read any of his writings, are amazing. But he did a whole book on worship, and he talked about you cannot worship a being you cannot trust. You cannot worship a God you cannot trust. Confidence is necessary to respect, and respect is necessary to worship. So, you know, if you think that backwards, if we don't have respect, it's going to be hard for us to truly worship the Lord, not afraid of him, but to respect the awesomeness of who he is and what he has and what he's willing to do. And you cannot have that kind of respect without fully having a confidence in that he is a God that you can trust. So I want you to think about this thought, all right, tonight as we're preparing our hearts for worship. You and I do not prepare a table for God, but we come to the table he has prepared for us. That's what worship is. We're not preparing a place for God. We're coming to the table that he has already prepared for us. Amen. You remember what Psalm 23 says in verse 5? You prepare a table
in the presence of my enemies.
Yes, before me in the presence. Who does the preparing there? The good shepherd does, right? He makes the way. You can't make the way.
Right.
He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and then he anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. So our worship is our response of deep-seated gratitude, knowing that you and I are only able to worship God truthfully because of what Jesus has done for us. It's a deep-seated gratitude, reverence, of saying that you have prepared the table for us to come, and that we get to sit at your table to experience who you are, what you have, and what you can do. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 15, if you would, with me. And we're not going to preach a long time here, but just I want you to see Matthew 15. And this is a great testimony from the scriptures about this woman in the book of Mark who was called the Syrophoenician woman. And she's a Greek, and she is not in any way a part of the Jewish faith, okay? But she's got an issue, and so it says here in verse 22 of Matthew 15, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Now, something doesn't sound right in what she said when I read that. I don't know about you, but she's saying, "Have mercy on me," but it's my daughter that has the problem.
Right.
So she's saying, I'm struggling. My daughter has a demon. I've got a problem. Fix my problem. Now, it's in the Greek, it says it like this from the Kenneth Weiss translation. "Have pity upon me quickly, O sir, son of David. My daughter is badly demonized." But then it goes on and says, and Jesus didn't even answer her. And you know, it almost seems like, why wouldn't Jesus answer? But remember, she is not in the right place. She's saying, look, take care of my problem right now. Remember, God is not just interested in fixing all our problems. He's interested in getting our heart.
Right.
And this woman has only come to Jesus because she's tired of dealing with her problem. And so sometimes our worship can, our prayers can sound like that. Our time with God can sound like that, that we have a litany of things that we're asking God, take care of this, and if you take care of this. And it's the attitude is that, God, if you fix this, then everything will be all right. Well, how many of you know that's baloney?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because once one thing gets fixed, there's always something else that's going to need to be fixed. It's a never-ending cycle of things that have to be taken. And this woman is saying, fix my problem now. Take Jesus, take care of what's going on right now. And because I've got a problem with my daughter. And then, of course, it says, and Jesus didn't even answer her. But if you look down to verse 25, in verse 25 it says this, and then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice the word worship that's put into this. The Amplified Version reads it like this. But she came and kneeling, worshiped him, and kept praying, Lord, help me. So notice the change of posture here. It's not about fix my problem now. It was, Lord, I bow before you. I need your help. In fact, in the Weiss translation, it reads like this. And having come, she fell upon her knees, touched her forehead to the ground in profound reverence before him, saying, sir, please be helping me. Please help me. An attitude change. That's what real worship does for us, is that worship takes the mindset off of, God, just fix my issue. And it puts our heart in the right place where we're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm coming before you right now just to honor you. I have the issues. Look, and God knows we have issues. Everybody here's got something you're believing for, if not a whole list of things that you're believing for. You all have questions. I have questions too of when, how, God, are you going to do these things? But remember what God told us at the beginning of last year, that we are not to focus on the when and the how. We're to focus on the who and the what. We're to focus on the one who has the answer and what he is capable of accomplishing, and leave the when and the how up to him.
Yes.
So this woman, she falls on her knees and touches her forehead. You know, I know our worship probably doesn't look like that. Doesn't a lot of times when we're doing song service, it's not like that. We're looking at the words on the screen, or we're doing other stuff, or maybe we're singing the words, but we're really not thinking about them. We're thinking about where we're going to eat afterwards, or what we're going to be doing later on, or will the Lions win today, or whatever, right? I mean, all those things can happen. They happen to me just like they happen to you. But what God has called us, if we really want to enter into worship, if we really want to have a time of worship, then we come to his table and we recognize it's a table he prepared for us, and that we're coming to him and we're saying, Lord, my heart, I want my heart to be right before you. So I bow. I'm just going to lay aside everything else I'm thinking about right now. All the things, all my questions, all of my petitions, I'm going to put them all down right now, and I'm just going to come before you. Now, verse 26, it says, and he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And I know that seems like a slam against her, but this is how the Hebrews talked about the Gentiles, that they were considered outcasts. They were not part of the faith. And so Hebrews would have not been as offensive like if we called someone a dog in our society. The way that they looked at dogs was that you're on the outside. In fact, Paul talked about it later on, Peter did, in 2 Peter 2:22, when he talked about how that, he said, a dog returns to it vomit, just like a person who turns back to their old sins. And he isn't saying here that they're a dog, that the woman is a dog, that she's an animal of some kind. He's just telling her that you're not part of the covenant. That's who I've come here for. And the woman responds. The woman responds to him in a real interesting way, and which I think is powerful for us, because what Jesus does is he pushes her to deal with her own attitude, and then he responds. So he pushes her to the limit of dealing with her own attitude of how she's dealing with the situation, and she responds back and says, "Well, Lord, even the little dogs get to eat the crumbs under the table." And the Lord responds. He says, look, I've not seen anybody's had faith like this. This is amazing to me. And he says, your daughter will be made well. Now, I know it's a long way to go around to talk about worship, but I just want you to see that what he's dealing with here is the power of what worship can accomplish in our lives when it's done correct, when we do our part of gratitude to the table. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about when God gave the commandments. What was the first commandment he said? Do you anybody remember? No other gods before me, right?
Right.
And what was the second one? Do not use the name of the Lord in vain, right? Now, I want you to think about this. God gave us the first two commandments. One was we could have no other gods before him. But the second one, and we tend to, you know, like when I grew up, you know, the vain was always like using curse words. You can't use God's name emptily. But what if our worship before God is vain? What if we're not engaged in it? What if we're just going through the motions of it? What if we have no real expectation that we're coming to the table? We're just like, well, this is just another part of the service. Well, then what we're doing is we're violating that commandment immediately. Yeah. Even though we say, well, I don't have any other gods before me. Yeah, but are we using his name in vain? Is it empty to us? And that's what vain means. It's empty. That it has no power to it. I mean, do I really expect that God's going to speak to me tonight? I came out here, look, you made the effort to be here. Why not enjoy the benefit of being here?
Right.
You're in an atmosphere of expectancy. It's what we call these expectation services. So in this atmosphere, you and I can hear from God. In this atmosphere, as we come to the table and we say, Lord, I worship you. I'm setting everything aside that I've got going on because, Lord, I'm coming to your table. Whatever you set out, I'm not telling you what to put on the table. You put out whatever you want out. But Lord, I thank you that as I come before you tonight in reverence and honor to who you are, and I worship you, I bow before you, I kneel before you, Lord God, I thank you that you meet me, that you meet me in that. So the power of this is that we, you and I, that we are coming before the Lord tonight with humility and with gratitude for all that he has done for us. I'll just close with this thought. Jesus told this great story about a great banquet. You remember that? The table. And it was prepared. He said there was a man. He gave a great supper, invited many, and he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come on, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master was angry and said to the servant, well, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The contrast here is not about that we get married and we're busy and stuff going on. The contrast was who he had told to go get when the ones that were too busy to come wouldn't come.
Everyone.
And he said, look, go get the people that don't have anything. The people that aren't all bound up with everything else, aren't all bound up with their things that are going on in their life, right? Those are the guys, let's bring them to the table. And he says, and just go keep inviting people. Bring people that have nothing. Bring them to the table. Why? Because it's in that atmosphere that we'll worship. It's in that broken moment. You know, God, Bible says, dwells with the brokenhearted. I don't think that means that we're walking around sad. I think it means that we recognize that I can't do this on my own. I can't figure this all out on my own. And God, I need your help. I need you to help me. I need you to show me. Lord, if there's anything that's in my life that's not right, God, show me. Show me tonight. I want to make this right. If I'm fooling around on the edges of sin in my life, Lord God, and you're not pleased with that, help me, Lord. I've had the Lord deal with me about stuff. I mean, look, if he's going to deal with me, I know he's going to deal with you. I mean, it's just the way that it is. And look, we're not in here and this is a condemning environment. This is an environment that we should be able, as a community, be able to deal with stuff together and not be ashamed that we all got struggles. How many of you have had struggles in the last, just since the year started? All right, look, we've all had struggles. But here's the good thing. We can come to a table that's already prepared for us if our heart is right and we're saying, God, look, I'm not coming here telling you what to do or how to do it. I'm just coming here to be with you. I need help tonight. Lord, I'm coming into your presence tonight. Lord God, and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to sing the songs, but God, I'm going to think about what I'm singing tonight. I'm going to really take this to a new level in my life. So why don't you stand up, worship team, if you want to come. And here's what I'd like to ask you to do tonight. I'm not going to make anybody do this, but look, I know sometimes we get stuck in our certain ways of worshiping. So, you know, we get protected in the pew kind of a deal. You know, we get our rows and we're protected. So what I would like to do tonight is I'd just like to invite, if you would come forward, we can just kind of all gather around the altar area. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. And I know some of you will, and I know some won't. It's okay, whatever you want to do. Some of you might need that chair to help you stand up the rest of the night to stay awake. So, but then if you'd like to, I want you to know that you can do that. And we're going to worship the Lord tonight. Amen? Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, that, Lord, just like this woman, Lord, you had to get her heart right before you could help her. That it was more about, you could have done this miracle for her, Lord God, before she ever got her heart right. But God, you wanted to get her heart right because you care about her. God, help us tonight to have our hearts right. Lord, if we're strayed, if we're out there, Lord God, in some areas of our lives, if we're holding anger and unforgiveness towards people, if we, Lord God, are fooling around on the edges of sinfulness in our lives, Lord God, we come humbly before you tonight. We need your help. And so we bow before you tonight, Lord God, and ask for your help here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, our team and leaders are all welcome to grab the mic and pray. If you come up with something or if you have something from the Lord, feel free to go for that. All right. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We have. Thank you, Lord. You're lovely, Lord.
We have some technical issues that we're trying to fix, so there's the words. They were there, and they left. So look at that. Do it without them. Light of the world.
All together, all together, all together.
I trust you.
Bring my heart. Thank you. So wake up, you living gateways, lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through. You ask, who is this King of Glory? Yahweh, armed and ready for battle. Yahweh, invincible in every way.
Yeah.
So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes, the King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is Yahweh, armed and ready for battle.
Yes.
Father God, I thank you for your church that's waking up.
Yes.
And we're being conduits for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, we just give you praise for that tonight, and we give you all the glory in Jesus.
My life surrendered.
Come on. Get at the Baba House over a head to the Akari Yari to see what he did. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Worship.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Holy.
Thank you,
holy.
Father.
Holy.
Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this place, Lord God. Yes. Not just this place, Lord, but I'm talking about this state, Father, this region, Lord God, what you're doing in the earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are not far off, God.
Come on.
Father, you are an intimate God. You are a God who gets down in the stuff with us, Lord God, and walks with us, Lord. You didn't abandon this place. You didn't abandon this state. You didn't abandon these people. You're here. You're here. Father, I thank you that you do prepare that table in the presence of our enemies.
Come on.
I just...
Wonderful.